Good morning. It is a joy to welcome all of you here this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I hope you've been able to tell already, especially if you're visiting with us, by the sound of our singing and our bell ringing and our shouting, that we actually believe that this is true. We really actually believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, because Jesus is not dead, but is currently, presently, at this moment alive, it means that everything Jesus said is true. All of his promises, all of his good news, all of it is true because he's alive to back it up. So to use an obscure theological phrase here, right at the beginning of my sermon, the resurrection is a really, really, really big deal. And it is. It's the biggest deal, because if it's true, it means that everything Jesus said is true. And so that means that this morning, whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your story, however you were bribed to get to church on Easter this morning, the good news is for you. The good news of Jesus Christ is for you, and the resurrection is proof of that. I don't know what your experience is in the church or with the gospel, but sometimes you might go to a church and walk away thinking that all you have to do is just this long list of things, or a long list of things to not do. And you can start to get the idea that the gospel is all about what you can accomplish if you try hard enough. And the good news of Easter is that that's not the gospel at all. The gospel is the good news of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us and what Jesus Christ can accomplish in us because he's alive. And because Jesus is alive, what Jesus can do for you is make you alive. Now and tomorrow and forever. Because Jesus is alive, you can be born again in Christ to a living hope. I just preached my entire sermon to you in 2 minutes. So we can move on with the service now. But not so fast, because I don't want you to take my word for it. Whether you've been a Christian for decades, or whether you're skeptical, I do not want you to take all this resurrection stuff because I say it's true. I want you to take God's word for it. So what I'd like to do this morning is consider briefly the true story of the resurrection based on one eyewitness of the real resurrection, the first resurrection, John. And then consider with you, because of the true story, the good news of the resurrection from another eyewitness of the resurrection, Peter. So the true story of the resurrection and the good news of the resurrection. And in that order, for a reason. Because if it's not a true story, it's not good news. If it's just a good story, it's bad news. It's got to be true. Like you, I love a good story. And I grew up hearing lots of good stories. I heard a lot of good stories from my mom's uncle, Uncle Larry from Kentucky. Anybody in this room also have an Uncle Larry? Anybody else? Okay, maybe it's the same one. And he told me the story growing up of a country boy who went into the city one day to go to the cool guy's bar, the tough guy's bar. And he walked into the bar, and the bartender took one look at him and said, "Oh, country boy, going back to your farm. This bar here is for tough guys, cool guys, going back to your farm." So next week, same thing happens. Country boy comes into the farm, into the bar, and the bartender looks at him and says again, "You need to go on back to your farm, country boy. This bar here is for tough guys, cool guys." Next week, same thing happens. And this time the country boy stands up for himself and he says, "You want to know how tough I am? You want to know how cool I am? This past week, I was on my tractor. A tractor flipped over and cut my arm off. I'm so tough. I'm so cool. I picked up my own arm. I walked back to my own house, and I sewed my own arm back on." that's how tough, that's how cool I am. And the bartender goes, all right, man, you are cool enough to come on in this bar. And the country boy went, all right. All right. It's a good story. Totally made up. At least I hope it's totally made up. Is this whole resurrection thing just a made-up story that Christians have believed to make themselves feel better through the ages so we don't look so embarrassing? Is it just a good story? Or is it a true story? The gospel can only be good news if the resurrection is a true story. It can only offer us living hope if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a true story. And that's what John helps us see. In the chapter we heard Abigail read to us, John chapter 20, we heard this eyewitness account of the resurrection from someone who was there. And we believe that it isn't made up. It's not a fairy tale. John saw with his own eyes what he described. The stone rolled away, the empty tomb, the folded grave clothes inside. And that night he saw the risen Jesus. We believe in his detailed, vivid account. We believe in Mark and Matthew and Luke's account. We believe that in the apostles' accounts. We believe that what Paul said is true in 1 Corinthians 15, that the resurrected Jesus actually physically, bodily appeared to over 530 people after his resurrection. We believe the accounts of the people in the Bible, that they're not making it up. One chapter earlier, we heard this on Good Friday in John chapter 19. John described his eyewitness account of the crucifixion. And he said, he who saw it, meaning himself, John who saw it, has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. I don't have time this morning to go into a lengthy defense of the reliability of the resurrection. If you are interested in this and truly seeking out more information about this and conversation about this, I recommend a book by Tim Keller called Hope in Times of Fear. If you'd like a starting point, Hope in Times of Fear, and we can talk about it sometime. But for the sake of time today, fundamentally, what Christians believe, what we truly believe with faith, is that we can depend on the total authenticity, reliability, authority of the Bible and of the Bible's accounts of the resurrection that have been passed down to us. And this matters, again, because the true story of the resurrection is the centerpiece of the whole gospel. Without the resurrection, everything falls apart. Without a resurrected Jesus, there is no good news, because Jesus himself is the guarantee of all the good news. And if Jesus is dead, that's bad news. It means that we are all totally crazy. If Jesus is dead, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, then our preaching is in vain. It means I'm just wasting my time right now. And your faith is in vain. It means you're wasting your time right now. And we are of all people most to be pitied. Everything rides on the resurrection. Because either Jesus rose again, and if he did rise again, it means that everything he said is true. Or Jesus didn't rise again. There, somewhere his bones are still decomposing. And it means that everything he said is a total, massive lie. Either he's alive and everything he said is true, or he's dead and it was all a lie. We believe with confidence that Jesus was raised from the dead. Really raised, bodily raised, physically raised, not just figuratively raised. Really raised from the dead, just as John described. And so what this means, because Jesus rose from the dead, is that he defeated sin and death. Sin and death is defeated because of Jesus. Sin and death did not defeat Jesus. He defeated sin and death. It means that Jesus conquered the grave. It means that Jesus rose victorious. And he's alive right now. And every word he said is true. And Jesus is the guarantee. The fact that right now, at this moment, there is a living, breathing Christ means that everything he said is backed up. And everything Jesus guarantees for us can be summed up in two words: living hope. Living hope. This is the good news of the resurrection because of the true story of the resurrection. John was one eyewitness, we heard from him, and Peter was another. In John's account, which is so vivid and detailed, he throws in these details of John running faster than Peter. And imagine Peter was sort of disappointed that forever in history we'll know that John's a faster runner than Peter. But then they get there, and John's nervous to go in. Peter goes in first. And so now we hear from Peter, another eyewitness of the resurrected Jesus. And I just want to highlight one verse, verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll project it on the walls, and we put it on the bottom of the back page of your worship guide if you want to look at it. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Let me just break this verse down briefly into two halves. And the first half is, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It means our God is accessible to us and recognizable to us and knowable to us because of Jesus. You don't need a system to get to God. You need Jesus. You don't need me or Steve or Stephen or Abigail to get to God. You need Jesus. You don't need a religion or a building to get to God. You need Jesus. And the resurrection is good news for you because it means God is for you in Christ. He's knowable and accessible to you through Christ. And God has revealed himself to you, not in secret shadows, but in the blazing face of Christ. Colossians 1:15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Not was the image of the invisible God while he was still alive, but now he's dead. Jesus is presently the image of the invisible God. He's how we know God. He's how you can access God. Some of you this morning just need to hear this. You don't need to know everything to be a Christian. You don't need to have it all figured out to be a Christian. All you need to know is that you need Jesus. That's basically it. All you need to know is that you have very little actually figured out other than the fact that you know you need Jesus. How about this for a church bumper sticker driving around town? Truro Anglican Church. We don't know much, but we know we need Jesus. That's basically it. And we know we need Jesus because he makes us alive. And he can do that because he's alive. This is the second half of verse 3. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we're getting in now to the good news of the resurrection because it's true. So because it's true, here's good news. He makes us born again to a living hope through the resurrection. That really happened. It's true, of Jesus Christ from the dead. Isn't this a powerful verse? Isn't this wonderful? But if you're paying attention, isn't this also a little bit offensive? Because if this verse is saying, which it is, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead means that I too can be born again to a living hope, then is this verse implying that apart from God's mercy and apart from Jesus Christ, I'm dead and I have a dead hope? Is that what it's saying? But I'm a preacher's kid. But I'm a nice person. But I don't cheat on my taxes. But I don't take the HOV lanes on 66 when I'm not really HOV. But I'm working hard on actually putting back the shopping cart at Trader Joe's after I'm done unloading it at the end. I'm getting real vulnerable with you this morning, you all. Is Peter saying that I'm actually dead apart from Jesus? Yes. That's exactly what he's saying. Our natural born state is one of deadness and hopelessness. But the God who is knowable and accessible to us in the living Christ is also merciful to us, and he proves it in Christ, and he causes us not to remain dead in our sins, but he causes us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that actually happened 2,000 years ago. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 6. It's not just Peter who says this, it's Paul too. It says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Well, thanks a lot, Paul. But God, there's the gospel in two words, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Catch this. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. He loves you even when you're dead in your trespasses. You don't need to come to him in order for him to love you. You don't need to figure out your life in order for Jesus to love you. You don't need to come to church for 6 months straight in order for God to love you. He loves you even when you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And he makes you alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up with him. What do we contribute to this equation? Deadness. Praise God. I'm pretty good at contributing that. I can do that. I can contribute deadness, spiritual deadness, hopelessness. What does Jesus contribute to this equation? Resurrection. If you are not in Christ, I am not telling you, I would never tell you, and this church is not telling you, and this church will never tell you that you're a bad person. I'm telling you, and we're telling you what the Bible tells you, which is the same thing it tells us, which is that apart from Christ, you're a dead person. It's not about being good or bad. The Christians in this room, the ones who sort of consider this church their home, we don't consider ourselves just a bunch of good people. And if you're a skeptic or you've sort of wandered from the faith or never been, we don't consider you a bad person. It's not about good people and bad people. It's about people who have been made alive, no thanks to themselves, but thanks to Jesus. It's about alive people and dead people. And we look with love and compassion and grace and mercy on dead people because we know how it feels to be dead, because we used to be dead. And we don't get any glory for the fact that we're alive. Jesus gets the glory for the fact that we're alive. And the glory that he gets is because he's alive. That's why it matters that the resurrection of Jesus isn't just a good story. It's got to be true. Because only a living, risen, victorious, glorious, wonderful, merciful Jesus can give me power over my sin. Can give me hope in the face of real suffering and real grief. We'll sing this song at the end of communion today. What is our hope in life and death? Answer, Christ alone. Christ alone. What is our only confidence? Hint, the answer is not me, myself, and I. The answer is that our souls to him belong. Who holds our days within his hand? What comes apart from his command? And what will keep us to the end? Praise God, it's not my trying. It's not my striving, not my efforts, not my accomplishments. That'll get me about 6 centimeters. What will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. And this hope and this confidence and this love in life and in death and beyond your death can be yours fully, freely, no exceptions. All you need to do is believe in what Jesus has accomplished. Not about you, not about what you can accomplish. All about Jesus, all about what he has accomplished. And the fact that tomb is empty, the fact that Jesus is alive right now in heaven is the proof that he accomplished it. He'll set you free from whatever you're stuck in, whether it's deadness, whether it's rebellion, whether it's just staleness. It's the resurrection power of the really, truly resurrected Jesus that will set you free and guarantee you a living hope, because ultimately, living hope is not just a religious system that we're here to offer, like one of thousands of religious systems that you could choose to abide by that might give you an improved experience in your life. That is not what Easter is about. That is not what Christianity, that is not what the gospel is about. Let me improve my experience while I live on earth. What's that? You only live once, YOLO? The gospel is more like YALF. You all live forever. I like that better. It's another bumper sticker. YALF. Because of Jesus. Someone's going to make me a bumper sticker, I know. Here's what's going to happen once you do that. You throw yourself on Jesus, your living hope, your resurrected hope. You give him your deadness, your hopelessness. Here's what's going to happen. I promise you, you will become yet another eyewitness of the resurrection. Not only Jesus' resurrection, but your resurrection too. Good news for you today and forever because of the true story of the resurrection. Let's pray. Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. O God, our Father, look upon us this morning, knowing our stories, knowing our struggles, knowing where we are even better than we know ourselves. Send your Holy Spirit upon us afresh and work in our hearts to bring us once again to the wonderful, merciful face of Jesus, alive forever. Amen. Amen.